I just wanted Mr. Kublik to be like, Josephine Potter, I remember your essay. Your dad's in jail. Your mom's dead. Your sister's pregnant. Your drug addict dad burned your restaurant down. You are a wire.
Oh, Dawson, look, there's your mom.
Back to you, Bob.
Welcome to Back to You, Bob, Dawson's Creek podcast. We are your hosts, Christina and Micah, and this is episode 409, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which originally aired on November 29th, 2000.
November 29th?
Yeah.
It's a Christmas episode. Those little lying liars who lie.
It is. Yeah, they are little liars that lie. And we'll talk about it next episode because the airing schedule gets really weird in this November, December, January.
That scares me. I'm scared next episode, which is also kind of a Christmas episode, airs in like February or something based on what you just said.
They didn't air another episode until 2002.
Really?
No.
Oh. Because I would believe it. Okay, well, before we get into Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, we wanted to talk about some news, right?
Yeah, we had another cast interview.
We had another cast interview. When are we going to drop it? We don't know. But this is a tease.
It is a tease. Lord only knows when we'll drop it. But when we do, it'll be a treat.
The biggest treat ever.
It's like a little, I'm trying to think of some of my favorite treats. A little sweet treat with a little coffee.
So we had the pleasure of interviewing Gareth Williams.
Mr. Mike Potter.
The iconic Mike Potter.
And he really was a doll, like a true pleasure to chat with him.
A true pleasure. So nice. Great stories.
Insightful. Yeah.
Everything. Yeah. You know, these people's memories, really, like his, Gina's, Brittany's, they are incredible. Truly.
We said it about the other two, but so impressed with his recall.
It was so fun to talk to Mike Potter because, you know, we love Mike Potter because as we said, and as we told him, he's this guy you're expecting to hate when you meet him. He cheated on Joey's mom while she was dying of cancer. He went to prison. Like, he's the reason Joey's life is so terrible and she's such an outcast. And then you meet him in the season one finale and there's something like vulnerable and likable about him and you're rooting for him. And I think that's all due to
Gareth's
portrayal. Yeah. So he was really fun to sit down with.
He was great. So keep an eye out for that coming soon.
And the other thing we need to talk about is all of our season three pods are already out of touch because every episode, all we did was talk about how cute Michael Pitt is. And he was arrested on suspicion of assault. So just disclaimer, those were pre-charges.
Yeah.
Remember us different. We don't think that now. We don't think that now.
I do think, though, that I mentioned that I thought Michael Pitt might be a creep. He's had some stuff.
Not me. I was like, we should get him on the pod. Not now. Not now.
He might be desperate to do some press now. Maybe this is the perfect time to get him.
That was just really unfortunate and a bummer because now the season three episodes are going to be like tainted with this. And it just had to be said because my friend's listening to season three right now. And she was like, I don't know if you heard, but Michael Pitt was arrested. And I was like, I know, but he like just got arrested. So yeah, not to make light of it, but just keep that in mind moving forward.
Remember us different.
I think that's all the business.
Let's get into it.
Well, what is the Dawson's drink for episode 409? Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
We will be drinking the Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Love it.
It is gin, chili liqueur, Campari, lime juice, honey syrup, and Fever Tree sparkling pink grapefruit. Not for me. I don't really like a bitter situation. Grapefruit isn't my favorite. Campari adds to the bitterness. Gin isn't my favorite. But, you know, for somebody else, this is like the perfect cocktail. It's just not for me.
You know what? I was going to say I've been into gin like in the last year.
Mm.
Gin and tonic was my summer drink last summer.
Well, why don't you tell us what this episode's about?
Episode 409, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, opens with Dawson watching a movie in his bedroom with Gretchen, debating the merits of A.I. Brooks' films. Dawson insists it's brilliant, while Gretchen dismisses it as pretentious, though she admits she loves seeing Dawson so engaged. At the Yacht Club, Joey's being tortured by Mrs. Valentine, as per usual, and she's telling Joey that her Saturday night Night Off is now a Saturday Night Back On because Walter Kublik, one of the club's members who has joined them, is hosting a networking event for Worthington alumni and upcoming applicants for the fall. Joey says she can't work it because she's attending it as a guest. Walter remembers Joey's essay and insists she sit with him. Mrs. Valentine, tail between her legs, does a 180, saying Joey is their best employee. She's so good. Who will ever be able to replace her for Saturday night? At Leary's Fresh Fish, Gretchen sees Mitch and Gail are decorating for Christmas, which means their annual holiday party must be coming up. Dawson and his parents explain that it hasn't happened in a while because of their breakup and their divorce, and even though they're remarried, they are pregnant and planning it feels a little daunting this year. Gretchen offers to take on all the planning responsibilities, and when Mitch and Gail are gone, she immediately recruits Dawson to help her. Gretchen and Joey go shopping for a dress for her college networking event, but Joey is rattled to learn that Saturday is also the Leary holiday party, which was a staple of her childhood, and she'll be missing it. And she kind of has to drag Pacey to the alumni event, and he isn't looking forward to it. So Jack gets the strong impression from Jen that she has not done any of her college applications yet, and he tries to get Grams to help him encourage her to do so. But Grams says that Jen needs to make her own mistakes. Grams and Jen are not on good terms currently because Grams thinks that Jen was responsible for giving Andy the ecstasy. Jen and Grams get into a fight, and she takes Grams pushing her to fill out the essays as a way to try to get Jen out of her house. So Jen accuses Grams of writing her off and writing her off so easily. Dawson tells Mr. Brooks that he's watched all of his films, all of the films he can get his hands on, and they're brilliant. Mr. Brooks doesn't like this at all and calls his resume hack work. Dawson understands, but wants him to know how much he respects Mr. Brooks and his work. Later, the guidance counselor lets Dawson know that he isn't done with his college essays like he had previously thought. His essay for USC on why he wants to be a filmmaker wasn't good enough, so he has to do it again. He circles around, skirting the issue. But per Gretchen's advice, Dawson reaches out to Mr. Brooks, and he asks him why he stopped directing movies, trying to figure out why Dawson did too. Dawson gets a little tired of Mr. Brooks's jabs and storms out after giving him a piece of his mind. At the Christmas party, Gretchen tells Dawson that there's no right or wrong answer to this essay question, but if he stops being a cynic, his heart will come through again, and everyone will respond to that when they read his essay. Elsewhere at the party, the guidance counselor, who is also there in attendance because she works with Mitch, tells Jen that Jen did it. She got her applications in just in the nick of time. And this leaves Jen very confused because she didn't do it. Mr. Brooks shows up and apologizes to Dawson for his behavior. He tells Dawson that he was asking about a wound that just hasn't healed yet. Mr. Brooks says he once directed a movie, the movie that Dawson was watching in the cold open, and his best friend and his girlfriend were cast as the leads, and they fell in love during the filming of the movie, right in front of him. He was too crazed from directing to even notice, so he left LA and never returned. Jen confronts Grams and Jack, and is angry with them for doing her college applications. Graham says they had every right to do it, and she knows why Jen didn't do them herself. Jen doesn't want to go to college because she doesn't want to ask her parents for the tuition money. Graham's says she won't let Jen ask them. Grams will pay for it, whether she has to beg, borrow, or steal. They make up, and Jack teases that when he was searching Jen's computer for her essays, he stumbled upon her journal. He had no idea she still had those dreams about him. And Grams and Mr. Brooks exchange banter and barbs. Dawson tells Mr. Brooks he's going to make another movie. His next movie is going to be a documentary about Mr. Brooks. Meanwhile, at the Worthington party, Drew, who's been forced by his mom to work and replace Joey, embarrasses her at the party by telling the other prospective students that Joey works there. And she's later thrown when she makes an error about the Guggenheim in front of Mr. Kublik, and this just makes her grow further embarrassed. Pacey saves the day with his humor, making a joke and making everyone laugh. As the night goes on, Pacey continues to do so, stealing focus and attention from Joey. Mr. Kublik says that Pacey should apply to Worthington, and this hurts Joey. She confronts Pacey and lashes out over all of this when Mr. Kublik interrupts. He would like Pacey to meet the dean. This leaves Joey even more upset, and she's left crying alone. Mr. Kublik finds her and says that Pacey talked the dean's ear off all night about her and how she changed his life. Pacey tells Joey that he wanted the people here to see her through his eyes. Joey doesn't know why she buckled under the pressure and how Pacey fits in so flawlessly. Pacey explains it's because she's the one who has everything riding on this. She has all the stakes weighing on her. He has none of that. And if she does get in, the school will be lucky to have her, not the other way around. Pacey suggests they go somewhere they both fit in, and that is the Leary's holiday party. So we're there and Dawson thanks Gretchen. His parents look so happy. He's glad she brought the party back. She says it's totally selfish because this party was a tradition that always reminds her of simpler times. Just then, Mr. Brooks walks by and says, "Kiss her already," pointing out that they're under a mistletoe. So Dawson and Gretchen kiss just as Pacey and Joey enter the party, stunned at the sight. And that is episode 409, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
I love a holiday party.
I love a holiday party. It really put me in the mood for a holiday party.
It really did. It's a little weird watching it in the summer, but I love it. I love it.
Great episode. Love a holiday episode. Lots of angst.
So much angst. There's a lot like happens in this episode. Can't wait to dive in.
Yeah, we're getting back to the angst, you know? We're done with the life or death for a little while.
Just a little while.
So who wrote episode 409, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang?
This episode was written by Tom Kapanos. He was last with us for episode 402, Falling Down. And he was first with us with Gina Fattori on 305 Indian Summer.
We love him. A star.
A star, truly.
And what about director of episode 409, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang?
This episode was directed by Perry Lang. He directed episode 320, The Longest Day, which is a fan fave. As a refresher, he had a bunch of acting credits and a bunch of directing credits. His directing credits included Charmed, Gilmore Girls, One Tree Hill, Jack and Bobby, Everwood. He was very firmly rooted in the WB ecosystem. And he will be with us every season. So he was with us for one episode in 3, one episode in 4, and he'll be back for an episode in both 5 and 6.
Awesome.
Oh, fun fact about Perry Lang. He is married to an actress named Sage Parker. They've been married since 1996. And I noticed that the girl Joey is talking to at the college mixer has a name tag on that says Sage. So I bet that was a tribute to his wife.
Oh my God.
I thought that was a fun little Easter egg.
That is a fun Easter egg. I never would have noticed.
Yeah.
What about our guest cast shout out?
Well, it just came to me that we have not yet given a guest cast shout out to Carolyn Hennessy playing Mrs. Valentine. She's a star.
A star.
Like, truly.
A star.
It's insane.
Truly.
She has 200 acting credits from 1991 to today, which is like insane. She must be working every second of every day. It's almost too much to list. I couldn't really pick out highlights. So you should go. Everyone should go and look at her IMDb because you know her from multiple things. Her biggest credit is 674 episodes of General Hospital starting in 2007. So I can't speak to that, but our resident soap expert Micah might be able to tell us a little bit about her and her character in that.
She plays attorney Diane Miller. The show is very centered on mob life and mobsters, and she is their attorney that gets them out of all their pickles. And
General Hospital is about mobsters
and a hospital.
I did not know that mobsters were involved.
Yeah. In the 90s, it took a big uprising, upward swing towards mob life, like when Sopranos and all that was on, and it was just very actiony. And she's kind of the attorney that gets them out of all their pickles. Like Mrs. Valentine, she's very straight shooter, like sharp-tongued, truth-telling shark.
Yeah, I feel like that's a good role for her. She has that vibe. Does she wear a lot of pantsuits?
Yes.
I can envision it.
And she's great.
She's a star. She's perfect in the role of Mrs. Valentine.
What would you say her next biggest credit is?
She was in 26 episodes of a show called Big Nate.
I don't know that.
She was in 78 episodes of Youthful Days. Was that a soap? I don't even know what that is.
I don't know what that is.
She was in 25 episodes of Cougar Town.
Okay. Yeah. That was pretty popular.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we love her.
Like, it just goes on and on and on. And it's like movie, 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 one episode, movie, 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 one episode, movie, 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 one episode, you know? So it's hard to even cull through it all.
Well, she's great.
She's great. She's making that money, baby.
What about your music moment?
It's Teenage Dirtbag for me.
Absolutely.
Hello.
Hello.
I don't think that I could have told you it played in this scene, but when it came on, I was like, oh my God, I do remember this. I remember this moment. I remember Jen being angsty in her room. I just love that song. I love it. It was on the soundtrack.
I was going to say it was on the soundtrack, right? So like the Creakers, we all knew it. We all knew it. And then it got big. I want to say like during the summer, towards the spring of this year. But like we knew it.
Yeah, we already knew it. Yeah,
because I remember being a summer song. So we were like ahead of that trend. Okay. And then there were just some really cute like Christmas covers in this episode.
Yeah.
Sue Medley sang Oh Holy Night.
What could be better?
Sean Colvin sang Love Came Down at Christmas.
There's a Smashing Pumpkins Christmas song.
Christmas Time.
Christmas Time.
Mary Beth Mazyars sang Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. By the way, someone whose name is I'm blanking on wrote in to us and said that Mary Beth Mazyars is really good friends with Greg Berlanti.
Oh.
So that's how she...
The connection.
...fell into the Dawsons.
Well, she's firmly rooted in the Dawsons lexicon.
Dawson's Creek cinematic universe.
That's right.
And speaking of the Dawson's Creek cinematic universe... Look, we all love Josh, okay?
Yeah.
Right? We can all agree.
I think we can all agree.
Dr. Odyssey is a flop. It's a flop.
I did not know where that was going.
I don't want to say it, but someone has to. I mean, I feel like we're all dancing around it. No one wants to say it because we all want to support Josh. We all want him to be on our TV.
Yeah. I don't watch. I did see that he's playing twins.
He played twins.
Yeah.
It's just never a good idea.
Rarely.
Although I will say on the last season of You, Anna Camp played twins and she needs the Emmy, the Oscar, the Tony, everything.
Speaking of, did you see Penn Badgley do the Jennifer Hudson soul tunnel or whatever that thing's called?
Yeah.
He is so cute.
He's so cute. I love him.
Adore.
The whole series finale of You, he's running around shirtless, like just bloodthirsty. And
oh my God.
It's very American Psycho. And I will say, I love the final season of You. Final 5 minutes, not so much.
Uh-oh.
Final season. But anyway, I just, Dr. Odyssey, it's not for me. I'm sorry. Don't hate me. Very much looking forward to Karate Kid. Like, I think that he's going to be amazing in that. And I think he's amazing in Dr. Odyssey, but the show's just not clicking.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He's good in everything he does. It's just not the vehicle for him, you know?
And we never really fully talked about Dying for Sex, but I mean, I was in puddles at the end of that.
It's so good.
And Jenny Slate was so funny and Michelle was so funny, but sad. And I mean, that was a great series. Really easy to watch, 8 episodes.
If they both don't get nominated, I'll be shocked.
Yeah, that was really good.
Jenny is so, so good in it. I feel like it really showed a new side of her.
And if you want to hear something funny, my friend texted me the other day and said, I just saw James Vanderbeek.
What?
In Malibu or somewhere. And I was like, oh, cool. I didn't want to get into it with her. We're like, he lives in Texas. So I'm like, you didn't see him.
Mm.
And they just announced that he's going to be in the Legally Blonde prequel series. So I mean, I don't know if that's shooting here or maybe he was here for that or if he was here for Masked Singer. I don't know. Because he got eliminated from Masked Singer a while ago, but sometimes they come back to like do the finale or whatever. So I think that was him that she saw, actually.
Wow. She should have tracked him down.
I know.
With a microphone.
And then Kevin Williamson's new show, The Waterfront, which films in Wilmington, North Carolina, is having its debut at South By or Austin Film Fest, one of those. So we got some things coming.
Exciting stuff.
And Katie Holmes is on season 2 of Poker Face.
Yeah, I saw that with short hair.
Yeah.
People love that show. I didn't get into the first season, but I would love to give it a shot.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good. It just has that procedural element that's hard for me to get kind of invested in.
Yeah, sure.
I used to love procedurals, but at this stage, it's harder for me to latch on to.
Maybe in like 30 years, you'll be really into it. I feel like they're very elderly.
I'll be on my deathbed. I'll be like, what was that show that Katie Holmes was in episode 2, season 2?
Download it to my brain chip. I want to watch it.
What were we doing? Is that music?
Yeah, so next is Past Versus Present.
Past Versus Present.
I got nothing.
I got nothing.
That means the episode holds up. Well, let's open it up. Let's talk about it.
Let's open it up. Let's talk about it.
I loved this opening shot where it's a pan across a woman's body laying on Dawson's bed, but it goes through the window frame strategically so you don't see who it is. Of course, my first instinct was that it was Joey, and then cut to...
It's Gretchen.
She's laying on that bed.
And they've done that a few times, right? A mislead where you think it's Joey and it's like Jen or somebody or Eve or... I I feel like we've seen that device.
Yeah, there's been a few different cold opens where it was Eve, Jen, Gale, even like he's watching movies.
And Dawson has like a little light in his eyes again. He's like excited about film and he's getting his spark. He's getting his groove back like Stella.
And it's arising some feelings in Gretchen. She's like, I like this side of you. You're passionate. You're opinionated. It's something that she hasn't really seen of him yet.
Because he's been in his post-Joey breakup zombie phase.
He's been a little comatose.
Yeah, but she's seeing the passion and she's liking it, honey.
They both got a little spark in their eye, if you know what I mean.
Even though she doesn't agree.
I mean, you can tell Gretchen is one of those that likes to be pushed back against. She likes a little banter, a little debate.
But I just want to give shout out to Gretchen because she's critiquing the movie like a real person would critique a movie. When it's been Joey, Eve, Casey, Dawson, they're like coming at it like they're like Siskel and Ebert, you know, or Siskel and who's ever one of them's dead. Roper.
Yeah.
Roper and Ebert. Ebert and Roper. But like, she's just like, he tried to kill his girlfriend. This is crazy. And he says, it's a love story. And she's like, no, you're nuts. She just used just like a real grounded
a real person
method of yeah. And I love Gretchen. You know, someone wrote in and said that they think Gretchen's creepy, that she's hanging out with a bunch of high schoolers, but I don't get that vibe at all.
Interesting.
Do you? Because she's only a year or two older.
They do mention that she's 21.
So she's 3 years older.
Yeah. And Dawson's 17. I mean, technically she should be in jail.
Is he 17 or 18?
I thought he said he was 17.
Yeah. Because I guess his birthday is in the winter based on season 2. As someone who was friends with people younger, like I would go back and hang out with all my, like they would be juniors and seniors in high school. And like I would still go back and hang with them. So I guess I don't think it was that weird, but I wasn't like hooking up with them.
But also she has a very strong connection to all these people and she grew up with them. So that to me is not weird.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be Christmas time in Massachusetts and Joey and Mrs. Valentine are sitting outside like it's a beautiful day. And that to me didn't make any sense.
What if it was a warm Christmas day?
Look, that does happen. There are anomalies. My parents got married on December 29th and it was 70 degrees. It happens. These things happen.
In Jersey?
In Jersey, yeah.
Well, let's just say that's what happened.
Okay, great. It's a beautiful, unseasonably warm day in Cape Side. Speaking of when she's sitting outside, Joey's hair is doing something very absurd. She has these bangs. I feel like they're new. I don't know, but she's parting her hair down the middle and it's like a little Dwight Schrute or something. Like,
yeah,
it's laying weird.
Yeah, it's a little Nick Carter, Backstreet Boys, Wind Tunnel.
Yeah, I'm not into it. Yeah. She has a low pony and all you see are the the middle part bangs. I don't like it. Sorry, Joe.
I don't hate it, but it's noticeable. Worth noting.
Worth noteworthy. Noting. 100% noteworthy.
And Mr. Kublik is just such a champion of Joey, of women.
Josephine Potter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember your essay.
Mrs. Valentine is a see you next Tuesday.
But I love her.
She's making digs at Bessie. What does she call her? Bethy or something like that? She's like, I saw her at the pharmacy, obviously not getting contraceptives. Okay.
Oh my God. She's a legend. I would just love to go get like a dirty, dirty martini with Mrs. Valentine.
Talk smack.
Talk shit on everybody.
Yeah. And if she starts going in on you, you'll just be like, your husband left you and you live in an apartment. Okay.
I would let her. I would let her call me names. I just wanted Mr. Kublik to be like, Josephine Potter, I remember your essay. Your dad's in jail. Your mom's dead. Your sister's pregnant. Your drug addict dad burned your restaurant down. You are a wire. Real compelling stuff. Can't wait to see you Saturday. Like, I just wanted that.
Yeah. Come sit at my table, Josephine. Tell me your troubles.
Your boyfriend didn't support your art career. He read your diary.
You dated that gay guy. I remember you.
After you drew him in the nude, in the buff. Well, Mr. Kublik is obsessed with Joey. He's her number one champion.
And I love that.
I think she might get into this Worthington school. I don't know. We'll see.
She just might. The feeling of finishing college applications is like no other. Like sending off that last one, it's still stressful. I was still a ball of stress because then the next step is waiting to see if you got accepted. But like the relief of climbing that mountain and being done with it, amazing. And a few people will experience it in this episode.
I don't really remember that. I did the Common App towards the end. With the Common App, you just submit to a bunch. So I think I only applied to like nine.
I only applied to 34 schools.
I applied to 9 schools. Well, I want to say like 6 or 7 of them were the Common App. So it didn't feel like such a big, overwhelming, daunting task.
And I don't even remember what that is. It's just like general information. Did you have to write an essay with the Common App?
Yeah, but they all took the same essay.
Okay. That's nice.
Like you could choose from 3. Yeah, I want to say like all the Philly schools were on. So it was just very easy. But I think I decided to do that later. Like I still had time left. So I was like, oh, I'll do some Common App stuff. Just
throw a couple extra in.
You know I love to blow money on anything.
Set it on fire. I wrote an essay about Georgia O'Keeffe, the artist. I don't even remember how I tied that into my life, but I do know that at least one of my essays was about Georgia O'Keeffe. I'm cultured, okay? You didn't know. You didn't know that I love art. I'm basically Joey Potter.
Did you get in? Because I would have rejected you. I would have been like, Georgia O'Keeffe, performative, disingenuous.
Probably. Yeah, I think I did. I don't think I got rejected from anywhere. I did get waitlisted a couple of places.
To where?
I believe TCNJ, the College of New Jersey. Ever heard of it?
What's TCMJ? It sounds like a jaw disorder.
It's literally the College of New Jersey. NJ, not MJ.
Oh, I thought you were saying TMJ? Is that
TMJ? Yeah. My mom had that growing up.
Oh my God. You were plagued by all the acronyms. It was funny because my whole thing in high school was like, I'm not going to go in any advanced classes. I'm just going to get straight A's in all of like the normal classes, which I did. And I was like, I'm going to apply to Yale. Screw it. I have like a 3.8 GPA. I was in the plays. I did some extracurricular. So I applied to Yale, which looking back is like lol.com. But I didn't get in.
They were like, sir, you didn't try. Where are your extra credits?
My sophomore year, this one math teacher said to me and my best friend, he's like, I need you guys to like level up next year and go into like AP trick. And we lasted like a month. She and I were like so lost.
Oh, you did it? And then you left?
Yeah. And then we went back down together. I remember the day we both like were broaching the subject with each other, being like
dancing around it.
Yeah. Like, would you ask like if we could? Anyway,
maybe. I mean, I'm just saying, like, if you wanted to. I don't know if I
can handle it. I totally understand.
But also, if you wanted to, I would support you and do it with you. So
I never really had like the, oh my God, I'm done with it kind of a thing. But Dawson's done and he's so relieved. But then the lady's like, you're not done because your USC essay sucked.
You didn't even try. I love, side note, the amount of colored string lights that we see across this episode. And they're like, they're actively putting them up in Leary's Fresh Fish, but they're in the yacht club. They're in obviously the Leary's house. Like, it's just, it's the twinkle lights that we're used to, but it gives it a Christmassy vibe. Yeah. And I love
Where
that.
Where do you stand with Christmas lights? Do you like the small? Do you like the chunky? Do you like white? Do you like color? Do you like blue? They have blue now.
I do what my family did. And we are small light people, typically colored on the tree and white on the exterior of the home.
Okay.
So that's what I do. I do a colored tree. Our ornaments are a collection of things from throughout the years. It's not like a curated, you know, this year we're doing a white and red tree or whatever. Yeah. Like people do that. So my tree is very, you know, eclectic and I love it that way. What about you?
We're chunky light. We're chunky light. About 2-3 years ago, my parents started getting like a little too old to do the whole exterior and this and that and the other. I went home early. I don't think I was working or I was working remote or something. So I went home in like late November, early December. And I just did all the, I remember I spent hundreds of dollars on like the chunky lights for the outside. Cause I think the chunky makes it just pop more.
It does.
And then our tree has always been chunky lights. Anyway, I just like to hear people's Christmas light strategies. Tastes, sensibilities.
And I feel like everyone has a firm opinion.
Oh my God. We used to get into such fights because my mom loved tinsel on the tree and I hate tinsel on the tree. So we would have to get pictures post decorating, before she put the tinsel on, and then after she put the tinsel. But now, of course, you know, I love tinsel because she loved, you know, like, I have to do the tinsel.
Of course,
because...
of course.
So
that's how it happens.
Well, anyway, Jen is slacking. She wants...
Jen is spiraling.
Spiraling. We don't really
know
the reason.
She's got some internal turmoil. Yeah. No, we don't know, but we can all tell she's not quite herself. Also, she's knitting. And do you think Graham's taught her how to knit? Because let me tell you, New York City Jen Lindley was not knitting.
Yeah, it's definitely like a grandma effect of, and this is a recurring theme, like Jen, Jack, and Graham's are just like a threesome, and they are all rubbing off on each other, and they're getting very dependent on each other, and their social lives exist solely with each other. It kind of becomes a running theme. They need friends outside of her grandma. So I fully think it's a grandma effect.
It also threw me off in that scene that, so Jen's like, do you want to go to the movies? And Jack's like, yeah. And then like 2 seconds later, Jen's like, I'm not up for it, actually. Like she it was her idea and her plan. And then she completely pulled the rug, and Jack just kind of was like, yeah, no problem. But then you can tell he clearly wanted to go out and talk to Grams about what's going on. Like, if I were her friend, I would be like, what are you talking about? Like, no, let's go to the movies.
In that scene, she's wearing one of those sweaters. What was that collar called?
Like a rolled. It's like, yeah,
it was almost like a cut.
Yeah, like it's like a rough edge, but then it like rolls in on itself.
Yeah,
but also it was two-toned. It had like the baseball style sleeve, like it was like lighter on the body and darker on the... I feel like I had so many of those shirts like colored like that.
Yeah, I don't know any teenagers really. Well, my niece. Do people still put up posters, like music posters? Because Jen has a lot.
I don't know. I put up so many pictures, and like now we don't print out pictures.
Yeah,
I feel like that was it's a big change.
Wonder what people have on their walls now. Let us know. Curious.
All you teens out there, send us pictures of your room.
My parents decorated my room, like I had no say. So my room looked like Jen's room, like the floral wallpaper and stuff. But like I wasn't allowed to like then put holes in the wall and do all that stuff.
Oh my God. I think I took a stapler and I hung up like stuff from magazines and pictures. They probably had to do so much work to my room when I left, patching holes.
You stapled the wall?
Yeah. I wasn't the best.
You were wild.
I was wild.
So Jack is like very concerned, and he really wants Grams to be concerned as well. But she's like, look, Jen needs to make her own mistakes. I'm done. I have Christmas crafts to do. Okay. I'm arranging my poinsettias. I'm doing my Christmas cookies.
Bigger fish to fry. We just touched on it, but I just love how clear it is that Jack is so comfortable there and that he's a member of the family. And he approaches Grams like he's her other grandchild. He's like, we got to talk about Jen. And I love that he's concerned enough to have that conversation and like find a solution. I just love them.
It reminds me of the Kardashian like viral audio that's going around on TikTok where it's like, no, I know we need to talk about her. No, I know. No, she's such a bitch. No, I love her. Like, do you know the one I mean?
No, because I'm not on TikTok. But
you need to. I'm over that. You need to get on it. It's a real issue.
I know, but I think it's ruining my brain.
It's not. It's ruining your brain that you're not on it.
It's ruining our friendship that you don't know my references.
Just tailor the algorithm to stuff you want. If you want smart things, then you just look up smart things.
No, I know, but it's the scrolling. I can do that for hours.
Don't scroll. Just click on things I send you and then get off.
Oh, okay. Okay. I see. Maybe. I'll consider it.
Because like I send people TikToks, and then when they say, I don't have TikTok, I don't care. I'm going to keep sending you the TikToks. Whether you click on them or not, it's not my problem. Whether you have TikTok
or not.
You
know what I did do is I logged into my TikTok on my desktop so that if I'm on my desktop, when the message comes through, I can click it and watch it. But
that's great.
You know, rarely
that's great.
The case. I said desktop, but I did mean laptop. I power up the old computer tower to watch TikTok.
Oh my God. Look.
Okay.
I've had it.
Okay.
I've had it.
iPhone now has a thing where you can hide apps. Like you have to like use your face to unlock it. So it's like an extra step. Maybe I'll try that and I'll put it in there so that I'm not just like going to it. I don't have any self-control. Okay.
There's this friend that I know who, and I'll send her TikToks and she'll be like, well, I'm not on TikTok. And then 3 weeks later, she'll send it to me on Instagram Reels. And I'm just like, I don't... This is building resentment and animosity.
Yeah, it's not healthy.
On my part. Anyway, It's Christmas.
The yacht club is decorated for Christmas. Mr. Brooks is there drinking a white wine and eating a meal. That's a pretty good life.
I know.
He's lonely. I mean, he's like crotchety, but.
Why isn't he at the yacht club? We've established he goes to the yacht club. He gets his.
Oh, he's at Leary's Fresh Fish?
Yes.
Oh, in my head, he was at the yacht club and Dawson just showed up there.
No, Dawson's not allowed in the yacht club. He's not a member. You know what? Maybe they're closed for the Worthington event. That's what it is.
You're right. They're prepping.
Mr. Brooks went to the yacht club to get in. And Mrs. Valentine was like, not today, mister. We're prepping for the Worthington event. And he was like, oh, I got to go to Larry's Fresh Fish.
Ugh, I don't even like fish.
We just wrote a deleted scene.
On the cutting room floor.
But then Dawson's like, I love your movies. And Mr. Brooks is like, well, I don't. They suck. And I'm a hack and you're a hack.
Leave me be, son. Leave me here to die.
Mr. Brooks is a star.
He honestly is.
This is the episode where like he becomes, I love him.
He becomes, I love him.
he's my grandfather. He's everything to me. And he says something like, I haven't been to the movies since 1979.
He was like, it's been a minute, but I hated Star Wars. And Dawson's like, Star Wars came out in 1977. He's like, I said it's been a minute. Okay. What do you want from me?
Mr. Brooks, I love you. But we get the feeling that there's some real trauma going on here with Mr. Brooks.
Oh, definitely. He has some unresolved trauma.
Yeah.
It's living in his gut. If he was on TikTok, he would know how to get rid of it, but he's not. The next thing I wrote is that it's nice that Joey has another female now that Andy's gone. Jen's kind of off doing her own thing. It's nice that there's another woman for her to like go shopping with and bounce things off of. And Gretchen is this new character that she can do that with, which I really liked. I like that dynamic.
Yeah, you're saying when they go shopping for the dress for the Worthington event.
Yes, exactly. I feel like these scenes are often with Bessie, where she's having like real life conversations. And
yeah,
we can't be doing that all the time. Bessie can't go shopping. She's got Alexander on her hip.
I wouldn't go shopping for anything with Bessie unless I was looking for like a wind soccer dream catcher or something. unless it was a Halloween
party. Bessie's like, come on, Joe, I'll take you to the thrift store to find you a nice dress.
I really wanted to get like a Pretty Woman moment here where like two women that worked at the store came out and they're like, what are you doing here? You can't afford anything here.
Big mistake.
Big mistake. Big, huge. And then Gretchen could be like, I'm 21. I have a credit card.
I'm wearing a leather jacket. Okay. You think I can't afford this dress? Get with it.
And Joey's saying how like insecure she feels about the party, right? And we find out Pacey's coming. Pacey's coming to the party.
And Gretchen is like, you'll be fine. Pacey can talk to anyone. Just don't let him do that thing he does where he starts telling jokes all the time. Okay, Gretchen.
Then it's the scene where the guidance counselor, who I love, like, need the spinoff immediately. What's her life?
Yeah, she's got a lot to say in this episode. She's very cash to these students. Hey, Dawson, your essay sucked, actually. Do you think she's reading every essay for every application of every student?
Well, I think the way it worked in my high school was like you're assigned a guidance counselor.
So, So she has a group of kids. Yeah.
Yeah. And I would assume she's reading the essays of like her kids.
Interesting.
Or their number ones anyway, you know, like.
Sure. Okay.
I didn't utilize my guidance counselors much in the process, but I know, especially with LA schools, I know the guidance counselors from like middle school to high school or like K through six getting into a middle school, like those, they're very hands-on. So I think that is a thing, actually. I just didn't experience it.
I didn't either. I feel like they just kind of were like, are you applying to school? And I was like, yeah. And they were like, okay.
Yeah. As usual, we were set adrift to just like die.
Yeah. Good luck.
I have a question about the guidance counselor's clothes.
Sure.
Do you think that is a set because it's the same material?
Yeah. Ribbed. It might be. If it is a set, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that the turtleneck does not have sleeves. I think it is a sleeveless turtleneck.
A turtle vest? It's giving Mary, Mother of God.
It really is. Those are the colors.
She's ascending. She's ascending. It's the ascension.
What if it panned down and there was a little lamb next to her feet?
The Virgin Mary, Mother of God, is in Cape Side, and it's, what's her name? Twist, Mary's a redhead.
Miss Watson.
Miss Watson.
Praise be.
Well, her outfit caught my eye, and so did the font. I don't know what crazy-ass font Dawson wrote his essay in, but it was like Comic Sans MS, some weird bullshit.
The type is also very large.
Which is probably just like they wanted it bigger so it would read on screen, but...
Sure, sure.
Joey's yellow sweater. Iconic.
Iconic. It's fuzzy.
I just want to touch it.
It does look very, like, soft. I love it.
And then Pacey's wearing army pants.
Well, Gretchen did say in the previous scene, as long as he doesn't wear his camo shorts, everything will be fine. And then in the next scene, he's wearing his camo shorts.
I know.
Pacey really does not want to go to this event. And Joey doesn't really want to go either. And he's like, we don't have to go. And she's like, no, we do have to go. And you're coming with me. Thank you. There's this Jen and Graham scene. They are a mess in that house right now. Graham hates Jen.
Yeah.
Jen is like, set all the Christmas presents on fire. Who cares? I don't want to be here or doing anything ever. I'm going to rot in my room for the rest of my life.
But I do think they did season one, they had just banter conflict. Season two, things got like really dark with like Abby Morgan and the Jesus of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Season three, they got along for the most part, I think. But in this season, the fighting just feels like light. It doesn't feel as dark or heavy. So at least it has variations where it doesn't feel like the same stuff over and over again.
And it's about a specific problem this time and not just like, I don't like your personality, I don't like your personality, kind of. It was like much bigger, more overall.
Yeah. And it's just, they've gotten so close. So the fight is just hitting on a low. Like Jen's point, I think, is we've gotten so close. How could you not believe me and not trust me? This is crazy.
Yes.
And Graham's this thing is like, you admitted to having drugs. So like A plus B equals C. What am I supposed to do? Not think you passed it on to somebody? Like, I don't think that Graham's thinks Jen is doing drugs. I just think she thinks, you know, she distributed it or whatever.
And she's very disappointed in her. She thought that she was a different person. And
yeah,
it's tough. They're in tough spots.
But then Jack and Grams have a little powwow on the dock and they have a plan. They're going to fix it.
They figured it out. They figured out how to crack the code.
But the fight in the kitchen is because Jen's parents sent Christmas presents, right? And Jen's like,
set them on fire.
Burn them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's our first little hint that there's something going on with Jen and her parents, or there's mm-hmm. something there.
Yeah. Dawson and Gretchen hang a mistletoe.
And then Dawson, who has been told that his essay sucks by the Virgin Mary Watson, he goes to Mr. Brooks and he's like, why did you want to make movies? Because if you could tell me why you did, then maybe I'll remember why I did. And then I can answer this question on like a genuine level that doesn't feel so blah. That doesn't feel so Christina Fitzgerald, Georgia O'Keeffe.
Look, that was inspired and it got me into college.
I would love to read that.
Oh, my gosh. Sometimes I think about that. Like, it's such a shame that the cloud didn't exist or reliable hard drives didn't exist. Because some of this stuff I would love to. Old film projects and old papers. If I could look back, I'd be like, oh, my God. Nightmare, but I would love to.
I know, I love it.
So Dawson goes to Mr. Brooks, prompted by Gretchen, because she was like, you have this resource here. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you ask him for his advice? Dawson's really good at putting himself out there this season. I don't know how to describe it, and I don't know exactly what I'm trying to say, but he just feels a lot more level. And he's just like, okay, I'm gonna mature. I'm not sure. I can't put my finger on it.
Yeah, much more open-minded.
Open-minded, maybe that's it. Yeah. That might be exactly it.
At the Christmas party, at the Worthington, at the yacht club, so many poinsettias.
Is that how you say that word? I say poinsettias.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know either. It's spelled poinsettias, so that might be correct. I always just said poinsettias.
Maybe I do say poinsettia. Whatever it is. There's a ton of them. There's a ton of them at that party.
There are, truly.
And then Gretchen shows up to the Christmas party that she planned, and she doesn't look Christmassy at all.
I hate this shirt. It's got like little beads on it, little flowered beads.
Yeah.
I'm not into it.
It's like Robin Egg Blue.
Yeah, and she's usually a fashion icon. You're telling me she doesn't own a red shirt, a green shirt, a silver shirt?
You're telling me she couldn't have bought one when she was out shopping with Joey?
Oh my gosh, great point.
Girl, you're the co-host.
Girl, you're not even trying. Earlier in the episode, Joey's like, oh, I love those parties, even though Dawson and I usually spent the whole time up in his room. And then Gretchen's looking for Dawson around the party, and she like has this idea, and she goes up into his room, and there he is.
Not me. What did you used to do when your parents had parties? I would always be down there.
100%. And to the point that I recently turned 40, and somebody asked me how it felt, and I was like, I actually think I've always been 40. Like, I don't feel different at all. In fact, I think when I was 20 or when I was 10, I was sitting there like, oh yeah, tell me all about this. Like, I think I've always been 40.
Oh my God. I've always been about the gossip. Even when my mom would be like on the phone with my aunts, I would like sit at the table and like listen, you know, just pick up on. Yeah. And then when they'd get off, I was like, what did she say?
What's going on with Pam?
And then they'd be like, well, you said this, but then what did she say when you said that? I couldn't hear her other side. And yeah. I was always down there in the mix.
Totally.
Loved parent parties. And they'd be like, go play with the kids. And I'd be like, ugh.
Snore. What are we going to do?
I want to be where the people are. Couldn't be me.
No. Yeah. I mean, no, I was there. I was hanging out. Maybe not when I was like 17. I was probably like, ugh, I got to go hang out with my friends. I don't know. But for the most part, I was hanging.
We love an adult. Not now. Then.
Ate them all. Killed them all, of course.
Now, get away from me. Now, it's just give me the dogs.
Amen.
Give me a creature that can't talk. Okay, so we're at the party, and Drew is very bitter that he needs to work. And he's out to humiliate Joey. And he does.
To Sage, speaking of.
Sage.
Yeah, Perry Lang's wife. Homage.
And Sage loves Drew because she's dumping drinks out in plants, trying to get refills.
One thing I love about Drew Valentine is he is always Drew Valentine, no matter the situation. Like, he comes over, he's snarky. He's snarky to Sage. He's snarky to Joey. I don't know. I really like him in this scene.
I just love him.
I do too. And this is the only scene that he's in this episode, right?
I believe.
I love that. We've talked about this before, but sometimes writers or productions are hesitant to put a character in for like one scene or one moment because they have to pay them. And I just love that they were like, no, we need him. We're using him. Five lines, no problem. Bring him in.
It's the best.
It is.
The old budgets were just so good.
So in the next scene, Miss Watson comes out and she like puts her arms around Jen in a way that felt like really casual. And I don't know.
She's drunk.
Okay.
I'm like 100% certain. I had this exact train of thought. Well, my first thought was like, what is this woman doing here? Then I realized, oh, she works with Mitch. And it's a small town.
Even that's a stretch because Gretchen was like, I'll invite everyone. You don't have to do anything. I'll put together the guest list. Gretchen doesn't know Miss Watson, but whatever. And Mitch was probably like, look, we're having this party. Come on over. Fine. I buy it. But yeah, she comes up so touchy-feely. Loose. Yeah. She's loose.
She knocked back the nog for sure. And she's like, Jen, hey, girl. Yeah. Where are your apps? Where are your apps, girl?
You did it. You really did it, Jen. Jen's like, what the hell are you talking about?
And that's the beauty of this actress who you did give the guest cast shout out to a few episodes ago. I think she is playing her like subtly tipsy and drunk. And I love that.
Yeah, she thought about it. She was like, what's her motivation here? What would Miss Watson drunk. Do? Also, they're on the porch. As we've discussed multiple times, there's a ton of wicker furniture on the porch. And they put a candle on this wicker, in this like wicker thing. That is a mistake. That is danger.
They did not learn from the ice house, I'll tell you that much. It's going to go. It's kind of light up.
Oh my gosh, it's a tinderbox.
And then at the freaking Worthington party, there's tons of candles.
Tons. They love candles and they love lights.
They love candles.
I guess they were like, we can't put twinkle lights in the Worthington party. It's not classy enough. Bring in the candles.
And the fireplace. Bring in every instrument of fire we have.
This is where Basie kind of takes the reins. I loved this. Like, there's some tension because Joey says that she wants to go to the new Guggenheim in New York. And Drew's like, oh no, Drew's in this scene too. He's like, it's in Bilbao, babe. Or Bilbao, hun. He calls her some kind of condescending name. Actually, it's in Bilbao, hun. In Spain. Ever heard of it? And Pacey's like, I think it looks like an artichoke. He cuts that tension with a knife. And of course, he knows that because Dougie has a coffee table book of architecture.
And I totally buy that Pacey probably looks at those books instead of doing homework and doing anything.
For sure. He's always fiddling with something, fidgeting, picking things up. I buy it.
Yeah. But do I buy that Joey didn't know that? I don't know. It was a tough buy for me.
Joey's been having a tough year. She's been very busy. She's been helping at the B&B. She's been watching Alexander. She's been studying. She's been trying to get into college. She's been working at the yacht club. She's got a lot on her plate. She hasn't been keeping up.
I just didn't buy that she wouldn't know what the Guggenheim is or was or where it is.
Well, he did say the new Guggenheim.
Okay. Well.
So maybe, I don't know.
Either way, that's what happened. And then at the freaking Leary house, there's candles in the window. Look, something's burning down.
I mean, we're really playing it fast and loose. They're lucky. Lucky to be alive.
Mr. Brooks comes to the house to apologize to Dawson. And he is like, sorry, I snapped at you. The reason that I'm so angry when you talk about my movies is because, like, when I finally made it to LA, I got the chance to make my first movie. The head of the studio wanted to cast my best friend and my girlfriend. And it was my first time directing, so I was obsessed with making it perfect. And they fell in love in front of my eyes, and I lost the love of my life. And so it's a bright spot because it was his first film. Was it his first film? It couldn't have been because he left and came back to Cape Side. So it was, he did a bunch of films probably that were like small indie, and this is like his first big one. And the trauma of being betrayed, like Dawson was betrayed, sent him back to Cape Side.
A little too much for me.
A little too similar, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. A little samesies.
And then Dawson invites him inside and he's like, no. And then they chat a while longer and he's like, do you want to come inside? And he's like, fine. And I love that. I love that he decides to go inside. He's like, I'm not much for people the first time he asks him. Then he goes.
At the Worthington party, things are falling apart. Pacey's killing it. Joey is flailing. She's being overshadowed.
Joey is like steaming mad if you watch her face when Pacey's talking. She
yeah,
is
but I get it.
Pissed. But then she's like, can I talk to you outside? And she really reams him out for lying. But do you think it's just like, I think the lie she's talking about is when he's like, oh, my parents are lefties, so I'm going to go to Yale. Like once he's questioned about why he hasn't applied to a Worthington. She's like, you lied. I guess we get the resolution at the end of the episode where she says that she didn't feel like she was enough and Pacey was like dazzling these people and whatever. That's why she's really upset. It just felt so weird that she was like upset about him lying about that. But you think it's all that other stuff?
Well, I think he was lying to come across impressive. Like, look at this girl. She has impeccable taste. I'm going to Yale. You know, she's going to Worthington. I'm going to Yale. And it was all for her, but I don't think she saw it until he pointed it out. She saw it as him pulling focus. And I think it was all of it. The Guggenheim, the not getting the attention, the Drew in her ear, you know.
Yeah, it all piled up.
Not to mention, she really wants to be at the Learys. She's torn between her past and her future, as always, at Joey Potter.
Tale as old as time.
Josephine.
So then Jen realizes what has happened, that Jack and Graham's worked together, filled out her applications, and she's pissed. And again, it's like hard to know exactly why she's pissed. And then Graham's comes up and she's like, I know why you're upset, Jennifer. You don't want to rely on your parents. I would never let that happen. And she's like, I will go through hell and high water to make sure that you go to college. And that softens Jen's black heart. And she's back to the Jen that we know and love. She's actually able to take on board that they did this for her and that she should go to college. And she is very happy.
Yeah.
And it's a very sweet moment. And they all hug, a little three-way hug.
Yeah. The thing that was plaguing her was the college discussions would mean she had to talk to her parents, which is something she's been avoiding. I don't think she's spoken to them since.
Yeah, her mom came for Thanksgiving.
Fall of season 3 Thanksgiving. Yeah. And she just isn't on good terms with them and she didn't want to rely on them for anything. So she's been putting it off. And now Rams is like, I got you, girl. Something interesting is they didn't write her essays. They just went into her computer and got her essays and submitted them for her.
Yes, that's a great point. Because I was like, oh, this kind of is shady. And then Jack says, I went through your hard drive. I found your paper about feminism or something. I forget exactly what it was. And submitted it. I thought I made a great essay. So it's all her work.
And Joey finds out, you know, Pacey's in there singing your praises, girl.
Yeah, Mr. Kublik comes out and she's sobbing. She's like very upset. Again, it felt a little much for me. in here. But he's like, Joey, what's wrong? And then he's the sweetest, tells her the piece he's singing her praises. And he's like, you're lucky to have a man who talks about you like
that. I definitely agree that like it's an overreaction, but I think the overreaction works because it just shows you what a met the pressure. And
what sold it for me is at the end of the episode when she said, when she says, I've never wanted anything so bad in my life, because then you realize that it's like the self-imposed pressure of this is what she wants. She doesn't feel good enough. She's worried that it's not going to happen. Like, I get that.
Yeah. She's at a party at a place where she works. Everyone knows that now, thanks to Drew. Her boyfriend's monopolizing the conversation, but in an effort to help her impress them, she made a fool of herself when she knew the answer to that Guggenheim question. And now she's crying in front of us. Like, it's just a mess. And so I totally buy it. She's cracking. She's cracking.
She is.
We've got to crack Gretchen Wieners.
In the next scene, there's literally a vase full of candlesticks on fire.
They're burning it down. Two little tidbits. Jack says that when he was going through Jen's computer, he came across her journal and he didn't know that she was still having those dreams about him, which is not the first time they've referenced that Jen has a crush on Jack.
I loved that. I loved that they brought it up. I love that they called it back. And then
loved that
Jen gets up and she's like, do you want more eggnog? And he goes, I'd love some more nog. He says it. It's so funny to me. I'd love some more nog.
Yes. Nog. Like he says, like,
and he's so pleased with himself.
Yeah.
For bringing up the dreams.
And then we have two little shorty wrap-up scenes where Mr. Brooks is playing the piano at the party and Dawson's like, I'm back, baby. I'm back in film. My next film's going to be about you, your life story.
But before Dawson comes up, Grams comes up. And there is, I said it before and I'll say it again, the sex tench is on fire. They are sparring with a little twinkle in their eye.
Get it on, sister.
Both of them are like, I haven't felt this
There's
in a while.
There's not much time left. Get it while you can. Get it while you can. Get that arthritis cream out and go to town.
Whatever it takes.
I told you I'm on arthritis cream, right?
For your elbow?
Yeah.
No.
For my elbow.
You didn't.
For my goddamn elbow. Compression sleeve, acupuncture, arthritis cream, joint medicine, anti-inflammatories.
And how's it feeling?
It's getting better. They did an MRI. They're like, this is a strange case. I was like, great. I know. He walked into the MRI and he's like, well, I have interesting results for you. And I'm like, okay. No, let me go back. I got my MRI done on a Friday. You know, the technicians aren't allowed to tell you anything. Like, I also had to get an x-ray done to see if it was broken. And the girl was like, could not tell me if it was broken or not. And I was like, can you just tell me if it's broken? And she's like, no, I can't tell you anything.
Just picturing them looking at the thing and it just being like a fuzz. Like, everyone's like, I've never seen anything like this.
She couldn't even tell me if it was broken. I had to wait 3 days to go see my doctor for him to be like, well, your elbow's not broken.
Because she was following protocol.
This guy, he was so excitable. The guy who did my MRI, this is different now. He came in at the end of the MRI, which is like an hour long, by the way. I didn't know that. I fell asleep. He came in really excited. He's like, you did great. You did great. The pictures were great. I saw the mass. And I was like, I was waking up. I was like, wait, did you say mass? And he's like, yeah, I saw the mass. And I was like, what? So I had to wait until Tuesday. So for 4 days, I'm Googling like masses, MRI, elbow masses,
STIs, elbows.
And then the orthopedic surgeon walks in to read my MRI results. And he's like, you know, and I'm like, today's the day I'm getting answers. This is going on 5 months now. And he's like, well, the MRI results are interesting. And I was like, what does that mean? And he's like, well, I have no answers. And I was like, okay.
What about the mass, sir?
So I think they think what I have is something called bursitis, which is like there's a sac on your elbow joint that helps the joint move, like hinge. And they think the sac is inflamed or swollen. But when the sac is inflamed, it does present as a mass in the MRI.
Got it.
But this is showing up weird because it's a bunch of little sacs, not one big sac that's like infected or inflamed. So they don't know what it is. So I actually have to go see another orthopedic surgeon who deals with peculiar cases.
Lucky you.
And guess what? I can't get in there for 2 months. Isn't the health field grand?
You're one of a kind. I've always said that about you.
Anyway, they have arthritis cream and they're going to start dating. I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it.
So yeah, Dawson's going to make movies again. And you know who his subject is going to be?
Mr. Brooks.
AI Brooks.
It's so weird saying AI now.
I know, it really is.
And then Mr. Brooks walks by as Dawson and Gretchen are under the mistletoe and he says, kiss her already.
Joey and Pacey are like, let's go to the Leary party. They finish up, they wrap up at the mixer and they decide to go to the Leary party. And then Dawson and Gretchen are standing there and he's thanking her for putting together the party. And yeah, Mr. Brooks says, kiss her already, you're under the mistletoe. Earlier in the episode, Gretchen says, you don't monkey with tradition. I love tradition. Tradition is everything to me. I am the most traditional person you've ever met. And I care so much about tradition. So when Mr. Brooks says, kiss her already, she says, we have to do it. It's tradition.
You don't monkey with tradition.
You don't monkey with tradition.
Yeah, we glazed over. Pacey and Joey do make up. He kind of says, I talked the dean's ear off. They want to meet you. Everything you did tonight was for her. And then he says, if you get into this school, you're not the lucky one. They're the lucky ones because they're going to have you.
Yeah.
And you know what? That line really hit me hard. I've been having an emotional time at work and I'm like, that is true. You know, we all feel so lucky to have jobs in this climate, but like they should be lucky to have us, you know?
It's true.
So thank you for that, Tom Kapanos and Joshua Jackson, because that line just really hit me when I needed to hear it, you know?
It's wonderful.
All these years later, Dawson's is still speaking to me. But can I be honest? The kiss is good. The kiss is good.
It is good.
It's not one of those long kisses. It's like and then it goes back. It's like rhythmic.
It is. And all the sound comes out of the room. It's very effective. And then we cut to Pacey and Joey seeing the kiss, and they played it so well. Both of their faces just immediately drop. It's so good.
Yeah. And we don't get a lot of cliffhangers on this show.
No, we don't. And this was a big one.
This is a big one. And that's episode 409, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Well, what you watching?
This is a movie, but I saw the Dakota Johnson, Chris Evans, Pedro Pascal movie, The Materialists. It's written and directed by Celine Song, who did Past Lives.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is one of my favorite movies of the year, that year. And I cried and sobbed. I liked it. I liked it. I didn't love it. It's so weird because it's being marketed as a rom-com and it's like not a rom-com at all. It's a rom-drom.
I assumed it was a rom-com based on what I've seen.
Yeah, the interviews with them are very silly.
Yeah.
But I literally saw a headline, Celine Song reinvents the rom-com. And I think it's good for people to know going in that it's not really that funny.
I think that's important.
Your expectations kind of set the, you know, the experience. So it was enjoyable. Didn't hate it. Didn't love it. Love them. Love them.
What's the premise?
The premise is that she plays a matchmaker who meets her perfect match, but then she crosses path with her ex, who she is wrong on paper with. Completely wrong on paper. So it goes against her career and it goes against everything. And Pedro Pascal plays this perfect match. And, you know, is she better off with her perfect match or the person that she wants to be with despite not being a perfect match?
Interesting.
Saw it opening night, 10 p.m. Didn't fall asleep. Very proud of myself.
Oh my God.
Didn't nap, as you know. Did not nap. Wanted to. Didn't.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for you.
What are you watching?
I'm super behind the times, but I just watched that Squid Game reality show and I like wasn't feeling well for a couple of days. So I just binged it in like 2 days straight. And I know there's a lot of controversy about it. I haven't read any of the stuff. I just remember like when it was happening, some of the contestants were coming out and saying it was like poor treatment or like rigged or I forget what the
unfair,
stuff was.
Like unfair working conditions. Like they weren't served lunch and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So take this with a grain of salt, but it was really well done. And it was really, I'm sure that producers had influence to make it feel a certain way and for certain people to stay in versus other people. Like there's somebody who makes it pretty far who I'm sure wouldn't have otherwise. But I thought it was really entertaining. Like, you know how sometimes those shows, it's like you can feel them trying to make you care about certain people because obviously they're going to go far and you really don't care. This, it felt very natural. And I don't know. I was wildly entertained by it. I thought it was great.
I thought it was great. I was very intrigued by how it was shot just because there's 400 and some contestants, right?
Yeah. 456, I think.
Like actual Squid Game, the show. And it's just, how do you focus on that? You know, I mean, you know who's going to make it to the end, so you know who to feature along the way. But at the beginning, you have to get footage of everyone. So it's just
everyone.
nuts. And I also thought it was crazy how like they had the blood packets on them that like exploded, or the paint.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that too.
I thought it was good. It's funny because if you haven't watched or you don't know, they have these little packets under their, like everyone has one in the same spot on their chest. And when they get eliminated, it explodes. And they obviously told them you have to lay down and play dead. So all these people are like rolling their eyes and falling over. It was really funny.
To mimic how on the show Squid Games, when they get eliminated, they get shot and killed. If they don't get killed when they get eliminated, they get shot and killed.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. You finished the season.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really satisfying ending. Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, just like the production value of the show, I feel like. Did they shoot it on the set of Squid Game? Like, it was exactly the same.
I don't know.
The production value was so high and matched the series so well. I was impressed. But
the challenges were nuts. Nuts.
Nuts.
Yeah, yeah, really impressed. Yeah,
that's it. I thought it was great. I would recommend it.
What will we be drinking for episode 410? Self-control? Is that what it's called?
Self-reliance.
Self-reliance. The titles this season are not amazing.
They're not intuitive or easy to remember.
It's not like, oh, self-reliant. Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang, I did know because it's the kiss. But like, it's not like, oh, that title, that's that episode.
For episode 410, Self-Reliance, we will be drinking the Allies cocktail. You will need dry vermouth, dry gin, and Kümmel liqueur. I'm probably not going to get Kümmel liqueur, but you make it by infusing vodka with cumin seeds, fennel seeds, and caraway seeds.
Okay. Love it.
All right. Well, I think that's it.
Well, until next time.
Bye.
Bye.